Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm happy to be back and happy that Chad did such a good job when I was away last week, keeping all of you up to date, especially on kind of the busy week that happened. Thanks a lot to the Jackson Hole meeting and also just some of those moves in the market. We're kicking off this week with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, I just want to get a quick little recap on the Jackson Hole meeting, the statement out of Jerome Powell. It seems like the Fed at least is on track for a taper of their pretty aggressive QE program by the end of this year. So it doesn't sound like it's going to happen this upcoming month in September, but at least the cards are on the table now for an end of the year taper. The markets don't really seem to care about that because look at how they're starting off this week, just grinding higher again. It seems to be the trend. Feels almost like 2017 when those markets just kept on inching higher and higher, sometimes on the back of some very weak breath, but that's a whole other topic. Ed, let's talk about that Jackson Hole statement out of Jerome Powell. What was your takeaway from it? Do you think the markets are reacting, I guess, sufficiently by continuing to move higher?
Well, I think the market's got a very clear answer, and the greatest stimulus show on earth is not ending anytime soon. And I think the speech was a dovish tapering kind of announcement where you have the market quickly resetting and pricing in that taper is going to be at the end of the year. And there was a very small single-digit percentage that thought possibly we could have had the taper announcement done last week. And I think the consensus, though, was that September was going to be the case. And even on the first day of Jackson Hole, when we heard from the hawks, it kind of was raising the expectations. You were going to see Powell, stick to that data-dependent stance, and that September was going to be on the cards. And, Powell, I mean, he's really focused on some of the, risks to the economy. He said the economy can still, grow stronger. And I think right now you have to take a look at, some of the short-term risks that we're seeing. And the Delta variant impact on jobs is still a big question mark. I think that you're seeing there is this fear, too, that you're going to have the unemployment insurance benefits end September 6th. The eviction moratorium got struck down. And then also, sometimes Mother Nature provides a big surprise, and we have Hurricane Ida, which, a million people without power, you're going to see some impact there. So it just seems that there's the speech is filled with caution, and I think that you're probably going to have markets just continue to count on the Fed, and that's why stocks are continuing to make these record highs. I think that you're going to see, investors are, they're going to love the NASDAQ stocks. The mega cap stocks are going to thrive here as we see treasury yields, refrain from lifting off. And I think it's the Fed's message is clear that they're not ready yet, or at least Fed Chair Powell's not. And I think you're going to see markets continue to count on the Fed to be there.
Well, Ed, just moving into this week, we also have some jobs report data coming out. We have the ADP report, and we also have the U.S. jobs report. Some people think that may be a motivating factor. But as you mentioned in your initial discussion there, they signaled pretty clearly from Jackson Hole that it's not going to happen in September, and that it's not going to, even if we had a great jobs report, it's not going to change things moving into the end of the year. Do you think that if the economy started slowing down more, though, and if there were still some signs of weakness, that they could even pump further into 2022 instead of even starting at the end of this year as far as the tapering?
I think that's a growing risk. And I think that you're going to see that, the one big uncertainty that we have is still COVID. And I think that the, this virus is continuing to mutate. There's another new strain potentially out there. And I think you're going to see that until we really have a firm handle as far as whether or not these vaccines are still effective with new variants, there's that big question mark as far as, how strong can the economy go, and how will the labor market recovery unfold if we see any disruptions to the fight against COVID. So I think that you're going to see the market is really going to be cautious, I think, as far as, pricing in, a certain table announcement at November. I think that's probably the base case right now. But if we start to see a bigger impact with the Delta variant on hiring, and if Americans who completely see all their insurance benefits expire, and if they are not motivated to go back into the workforce, if they don't feel they need to, or if they're just they don't want to risk getting exposed to some variants, you're going to see that could really disrupt the mission to recovering the remaining roughly 6 million jobs that are still needed to get filled. So I think there could be trouble ahead, and if that is the case, then you're going to see that the Fed is going to hesitate to start reducing the pace of those asset purchases. So, we're as we kind of discussed earlier before the call, we're going to be data dependent, and I think we're going to be, closely following exactly how the reopening of the economy goes. And I think the big question mark for a lot of people is schools. There are a lot of parents that depend on sending their kids in person to school to resume normal work life. We're going to see exactly, how some of the signs that we're getting from the South is that, what is the procedure that we're going to have? Some states, they're only prepared for in-person. And if we start to see some school shutdowns, that will greatly impact some people's abilities to work. So a lot of question marks going into these next few months. And I think the taper debate will be lively. And we can't ignore inflation. I think that there is a growing momentum that these supply chain issues are just going to continue to feed on these pricing pressures. So I think we're going to see a little bit more persistence here with some of these moves up in prices. And that will also complicate the Fed's stance on what to do.
So, Ed, I get that there are a lot of bears in the sector or commentating on these markets because, look, these markets have just kept moving higher. And whether you point to lack of breadth or the fact that eventually all this easy money is potentially going to be wound down, I understand there could be some headwinds out there, but what do you think matters the most? Is it actually COVID and the cases there outside of the Fed maybe tapering a small portion when the argument already was that some of the liquidity was being drained out of the market through the repo market? Essentially, is everyone making too big of a deal about the Fed potentially starting a small-scale taper by the end of this year?
Well, I think given where we are in the economic recovery, and given that we are leaving peak growth, and I mean, while we're still going to see a very strong 2022, and I think that you have to be more concerned about whether or not the Fed is making a mistake here and not acting sooner. I think the argument for them to have begun tapering, at the end of the first quarter was there. I think that given where we were, I think that you could have easily have made the case that they should have been doing that. And now I think, the longer the Fed takes, I think it is really starting to, impact some people's longer term concerns. I mean, the Fed is buying all the TIPS and mortgage-backed securities. And I think, that's keeping real rates heavy. And I think until they, are pressured to act. And I think, the problem is that, you look at our deficit, you look at, all these stimulus measures are going on. We're going to have a low interest rate environment for the foreseeable future. Once we get tapering and if the economy is still strong, you're probably going to see, a few rate hikes. But I think that we're not in a position right now where there's, everyone's right now focused on short-term drivers. And I think, though, that you're starting to see, I think, more people become concerned that, the Fed is is having a mistake here. And I think it's just going to lead to greater volatility in the fixed income markets. And we're probably going to see some extreme swings. And I think that probably going to be more warranted earlier next year.
Well, Ed, speaking of tightening and rate hikes and inflation and interest rates, you know, they had indicated again, Jerome Powell, that they still have no inclination to start hiking rates until 2023. But on the dot plot, some of the Fed governors think that they may get a few in, one or two, by the end of next year. But aren't they in a position where they really can't normalize rates again to where, you know, where we traditionally had rates in the 4% to 7% rate? It's just, it's not possible. So to your point, we're probably going to see lower inflation, lower interest rates for the foreseeable future, and the Fed is historically behind the curve. So wouldn't you expect that just to continue as it has?
Yeah, and I think you're going to see demand for treasuries is still going to be strong. I mean, the German Bund is still negative. We're at negative 0.442. I think that you're going to see that I think by the end of next year, let's say inflation pressures continue to be the priority for most investors, then I think you'll see that the Fed could be pressured to act a lot sooner. And I think that right now we're focused on the labor market recovery, but I think, you know, inflation will be the straw that breaks the Fed's back. that probably won't be more relevant until I think we get to 2022. But for now, we're going to see rates remain heavy. That's a given, and that's probably why despite where we are in this recovery, peak growth, 10-year yield below 130, that should tell you something.
Good point there, Ed. Let's switch focus just a little bit to the oil sector, because oil went through a bit of a correction there. Has bounced back quite strongly. We also have an OPEC Plus meeting this week, so that could provide some volatility there. But again, with crude closing in on that $70 a barrel level, I've heard a lot more bullish comments. And you know what? That's after just a very short and shallow correction. What do you think could come out of OPEC Plus? What's your outlook for oil?
Well, I think right now you're seeing, I think primary focus is right now energy traders. They really want to know exactly what's the pull impact of Hurricane Ida. I think right now before the hurricane hit land, I think 95% of output, roughly 1.74 million barrels in the Gulf, were shut in. Depending on some of the damage done to the refineries, that could really, that could take months to get fixed. So they're still assessing the damage toll, and that would, that's a major hub for energy, not just for the U.S. but for exports as well. So I think you're going to see that is a big concern. I think, with OPEC Plus, the Biden administration calling on them to boost output, and I think, even if they stick to their plan to go with these planned output hikes, this market is still heavily in deficit. So I think you're probably going to see that you can make the case that they're just going to go stick to the game plan, and they're going to not really see that weigh on prices. I think that this market, with the disruptions that we're seeing in the U.S. And even as demand starts to falter, we're still too heavily in deficit to have investors kind of abandon the crude trade. So I think you're still looking at higher oil prices going forward, and there's probably until we get you would need to see a lot of changing scenarios as far as forecasts go, as far as when Iranian crude output is coming back to life. And right now, Iran nuclear talks are not really progressing. And I think you're going to see that you're probably in a market where U.S. production is probably has peaked for the year. And you're going to start to see, I think, U.S. production kind of settle closer to 11 million barrels per day. And this market, we're eventually, I think once we get past this OPEC Plus meeting, you're probably looking at Brent closer to 80 when it's all said and done.
Well, just one more comment on the higher price of energy right now, Ed. We're seeing that reflected in the prices that airlines are charging and that, you know, transit buses, everything has gone up in price as far as transportation. And so a lot of people think with Labor Day upon us here at the end of the week, that that's really the end of the summer driving season. But that's also the end of when a lot of people try to squeeze in vacations as they prepare for will they or won't they have their kids going back to school, and the fall and the winter where more people may be prone to stay in due to concerns about the Delta variants, et cetera. So we had a generalist on that asked about, have we seen peak growth in this reopening trade, and has the hospitality sector, like the airlines, hotels, cruises, all that gotten way ahead of itself, and could that be another point of weakness that the markets need to contend with? What do you think about that?
Well, I'm so happy you brought that up, because the airline industry has been pretty forthcoming. They've cut their schedules. The plateau and for air travel is in place. Southwest, they announced that bookings are down. There's also, as we spoke about Delta earlier, there's fear that we're not going to see strong holiday demand. So airliners are in trouble right now. I think that there's this kind of fear that, you know, with all those uncertainties, and the problem is, you know, normally what happens is once we get past that peak summer driving season, people return to work and business travel is what picks up. Business travel is not really picking up. There is that fear that you're going to see, you're not going to have conventions. You're not going to have, a lot more of a reason to be optimistic, I think, for jet fuel. I think that the one thing that you're going to see is that, as people try to price in, okay, well, if if this is as good as it gets short term for the airliners, costs are going to still remain, I think. Prices are going to be higher. They're going to continue to slash flights. Until we really see, the virus fears alleviated. And fortunately, though, I mean, there is belief that, you know, we have seen the peak in the South. The big question mark is really for schools. I think there's strong optimism that you're going to see that that will probably not go as smooth. I mean, you'll probably have lots of, sporadic school closures here and there, but I think there's still strong optimism that you're going to have all those Americans that bought cars. I have a lot of my New York City friends, they bit the bullet and they bought a car. I think that you're going to see that everyone's going to continue to want to use their car that they just got. So I think you're going to see travel moderate over these next few months. I think if airliners, the hospitality sector, they're going to, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for them, especially once we're beyond the summer season and as people return to school.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Ed, appreciate your insights for this week. Look, this week probably will be a bit slower, but again, watching what OPEC Plus comes out of that meeting, as well as this jobs data, because everybody still has a lot of eyes on the Fed and just when they will taper. You can make the argument that it's being made a little bit too much importance here, but tough to say. We'll see when the Fed actually tapers and how the market reacts. Ed, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks.